Blog Talk Radio.
Boy, she does a good job on that, singing that song. That's Shout Even Shy, Bridget. She put music into the a poem I wrote. Thank you, Bridget, for doing that. Well, welcome back, my friends, to the show where we pretend to be somebody we're not. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the evening. I've stumbled into A Team of Voices Radio. It's a Wonderland production. We come on many times a week, different themes, different hosts. This is Saturday. We called it, I guess. Along with me is AP Taylor, my co-host, man from Snowy River, man from down under the Wizard of Oz. How you doing, AP?
Yeah, good, thanks. Hatter, how are you?
I'm getting better every day. Every day is better and better. So.
That's what we like to hear. And we have Deb with us as well. Deborah Lee's joined us as well.
Oh, good. I was just going to say, Deborah Lee, she's the creator, the boss, my little sister, my friend. Deborah, she does all the heavy lifting in the back, so we can sit out here and look pretty. Hi, Deb.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Hey, you, Deb.
Yeah.
Okay, just walked in the door, so at least I made it.
Wow. Perfect timing, that's what that is.
Yeah, it is. Well, we are a group of writers that sort of met each other at allpoetry.com. We are a group inside a team of voices, ATOV. It is free to join. If you'd like to be a part, poetry.com, the groups, ATOV, a team of voices, knock on the door. Deborah will let you in, and you can be a call into the radio here to share your poem or be a part of the contest or everything that we do. We do a lot of different things. Number here is 1-646-668-2837. That's 1-646-668-2837. If you'd like to call, share a story or a poem, we will tolerate that. We do that.
We do that.
Tonight, I got to choose the prompt for tonight last week, and I chose cardboard. Great invention.
You did.
What does it mean?
Yep,
yeah, what does it mean to you? We use it to protect the things we buy, to ship. We store things in it. But the most important thing about a box is that we need them to move. Collecting boxes. And everybody that's in that light field or have done that many times can spot a well-constructed, heavy-duty box. The first thing that goes in their mind is, got to save that box.
Exactly right.
I even had to, I used to supply industrial pipe supplies to different corporations, different companies, and one of them was a cardboard manufacturer, a cardboard box manufacturer. And the different ways they would cut them to put them together were quite interesting. Different thicknesses for different things, you know. Very interesting. Well, we usually have a collaboration between me and AP. Well, we sort of dropped the ball on that one. I think I did too.
Didn't happen, did it?
We're not going to have a collaboration. I think we're going to. We sort of got ourselves into a fantasy football league, didn't we, AP? Thanks to Deborah.
We did.
Thank you, Deborah.
We did.
And
Deb asked us to be there.
Yeah, spend a little time giving each other the business through the season. We can't let Greg run away with this without him knowing that we know.
No. And Hatter, you're on his tail, which is good. So I think somebody's got to keep him honest, and I think Deb's son is also not too far away. So I think we've got a couple of people who are trying to keep him honest while he's. Rolling out the big scores.
Yeah, I was only in one other one before, and I think what it is, it sort of evens out when you get into the fourth, fifth, sixth week. It'll be more true to tell what's going to happen. Players could get hurt. Your buys are going to come up. You've got to juggle people around, so we got to pay attention to that on week six. So that'll be interesting. It'll be fun. So far, this program, Deb, you're right. They does all the work for you.
It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. I've just been getting used to the sort of differences, Hatter, because I spent 25 minutes getting myself organized to get into the football league. So I read one article in that time, and then I recognized that possibly other people had read more than that. Because there's so many resources,
Oh, yeah.
I was reading something like 20 million Americans do fantasy football, 7 million do it through their work.
Wow.
And in Australia, it's never been that popular. And we don't do it for NFL, obviously. We do it for our own local game. But, we've only got a couple hundred thousand people playing. And so... for every one player of a fantasy sort of football game in Australia, there's 100 in America, yeah? And so it's just so much bigger and more organized and,
do an Australia football, how you would do that? Would you take just... I don't know how that draft is. Do you just construct? I don't know how. Is there 9 or 10 guys on a team on the field at any time?
They actually have 18 on the field, and then they have 4 emergencies, yeah? And so what they do in the fantasy football in Australia is that they we don't do draft based, so that there's everybody gets a particular player. Everybody chooses their squad, and they can have the same player if they want to, and many do. But you've got to, instead of the players being a restraint, there's a cash amount. You can only spend X amount of cash, and all the better players are worth more money, you see. And so you've got you have no choice but to construct a team either of sort of all mid-level people or a few, good people and some young up-and-coming and rookies.
How many teams are there in Australian football?
In Australia? In the football league here, in the Australian Football League, we have 16.
16, okay. Wow. So they're basically like cities then, same thing here. Yeah.
Yeah, virtually. I mean, it started off in Melbourne, so there's far more in Melbourne than anywhere else, but there's a couple in Sydney, a couple in Brisbane, a couple in Adelaide, and a couple in Perth, and the rest are in Melbourne.
I had heard years ago they started having some preseason and some regular season football games in England. And a lot of the English didn't know much about it.
In England.
Yeah, they didn't know much about it.
Yeah.
I guess
during the regular season and before. Yeah. And so is your NFL. Oh, hold on. I think I've missed Stephen. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Hello, good. How are you doing?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah,
okay with you?
How are you?
All right. Are we talking American football or rest of the world football?
American football and Australian football. We're actually talking fantasy football, but and the differences between them. But we are going to be talking about boxes, and so and I know you're on a bit of a time crunch, so very happy to put your cardboard poem up on the board, Steve.
Yeah, let us know how much time you think you have, basically, so we can rush you in and out, or we don't want to make you feel rushed, like to hang with you.
No,
but if
you are, that's cool.
I am. I'm very tired. I've had quite a busy week.
Okay.
Crazy.
Understand. Sure. Well, let's get him up on the pedestal, up on the stage. Get the lights.
Yep.
So I saw the prop cardboard. Cardboard just made me think of this poem immediately. The word card.
What happened?
I don't know.
It's
Steven.
What happened?
Uh-oh.
Hello, Steven.
Working again?
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Saying that I don't have internet. Usually I rely on internet calling.
Oh.
That's probably the issue is.
That's not helpful.
Hopefully it fixes itself. Can you still hear me?
Yep, absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
Or are you unable to? Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go. This is called Pine Needle Forget-Me-Nots, and I know it's not Christmas, but this is what popped into my head with the prompt. The murmur of conversation fills his ears. His eyes gaze upon the festal tree, decorated red, green, silver, and gold, as his feet shuffle in the inching queue. Trembling hands hold a plastic tray, a foam plate, and a bowl is framed by plasticware utensils and a paper cup, all eagerly waiting to be filled. Smiles fill ladles with gravy and soup. Glad tidings pile potatoes and meat. Good wishes of sherbet, punch, and soda, completing the feast with whipped top pie. Sitting among holiday strangers, still wrapped in threadbare scarves, toasting the generosity and the season, while his rumbling stomach welcomes nourishment, he focuses on the faux pine branches, because to look out the frosted window reminds him that Boxing Day forgetfulness will abandon him to snow-flurried shivering alleys under his comforter made of newspaper. End poem.
Man. reality, reality of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that? Trembling hands hold a plastic tray, a foam plate, a bowl is framed. Plastic utensils and a paper cup. It amazes. I remember the day I looked around and found out I had no place to go. Holy crap.
Mm.
How did this happen? How did this happen? And the total dread and anguish just came over me. It was like, oh, man, I don't ever want to feel that again. So I tend to be a little more aware. I guess it takes that to be more aware of what goes on around you. It's a frightening thing, especially around in the cold in the winter time. Yeah. What do you think, AP?
Yeah, look, I hadn't actually thought about cardboard in the way that you know, basically, millions of people around the world live in cardboard boxes and use cardboard as a way of keeping warm, particularly during winter. And it's a scary thought, but it's a truth. And if we didn't have the cardboard, there's probably a whole heap of people who just wouldn't make it through. And you don't think about that substance in that way, but there's real truth in what you say, Stephen.
Get real inventive how to keep yourself warm. Hey, Deb, you want to come in?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The second stanza, trembling hands, hold a plastic tray, a foam plate, and bowl is framed by plasticware utensils and a paper cup, all eagerly waiting to be filled. And the visuals there were crystal clear. And sitting among holiday strangers still wrapped in threadbare scarves, toasting the generosity in the season, while his rumbling stomach welcomes nourishment. He focuses on the faux pine branches. It's the little details that drive this one home.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture is like really sad because, you know, you can just imagine how cold he is and hungry and shivering and makes me want to cry, Stephen. Damn.
Sorry.
Reminds him of that Boxing Day. What manner did you mean that, if I ask?
The day
Boxing
after Christmas.
Day.
And the generation.
That
was
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, holidays are. It just tears me apart to know what people used to have, never had, wish they had.
Yep.
Should have.
Yep.
But don't. Well, thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
You want to go over your schedule? What's coming up on a poetic slice of life? Is that right? Yeah.
You got it right. Yes, poetic slice of life. yeah, Monday is the Mortuary of Shadows, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It's just going to be open, dark poetry. Special day for Sky because she needs Saturday off, so Sky's going to be on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
And she's looking at the movie that starred Howie Mandel, Little Monsters. It was also a comic book. Yeah, quote writes, scene writes, character writes, the regular. And our poetic inklings and movement of sound is the related ones as we're doing the movie Less Than Zero, also the book Less Than Zero for the poetic inklings, got quotes from the book and movie. And movement of sound is going to be featuring the soundtrack from Less Than Zero, both at 9 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, or possibly Friday for movement of sound.
All righty. Friday. Man cave?
No, that's the week after.
Week after, okay.
There you go.
That fits. All right. Well, Steve, we don't want to keep you. I know you're tired. You can hang as long as you can. Always, you're always invited. Always welcome.
You know what? You're right. I think it is that Friday, isn't it? Is that the last Friday of the month already? What the hell happened in September?
I know. That's why.
Yep.
I think about it earlier.
It's gone.
So we'll juggle something around. We'll figure something out. I got to, I don't know if anybody heard, last two nights ago, I did a Wrecking Crew show, update on the Wrecking Crew and some of the members. I love those guys. I do. I don't know any of them. Won't meet any of them.
No.
Most of them are gone. But what a beautiful, beautiful story. It really is. The Wrecking Crew. Let's
so,
see.
Hatter, I've got a change of tone of poem, yeah? So I know Stephen had the cardboard with the those poor, unfortunate folk who need to use it. I've got a slightly more upbeat one, so I was going to put that on next. Is that okay?
Sure. That's absolutely. Go
okay.
ahead.
Righto. Well, this is Boxing with a Villanelle. And it's not a villanelle. It's close, but it's not a villanelle. And it goes a little bit like this. Corrugated fiberboard, paper and mat are the three types of cardboard you see. Rigid and folding cartons are where it's at. Designed for security advertising stat, between two liners is waffle by degree. Often will give more security than flat. Are the three types of cardboard you see. Rigid and folding cartons are where it's at. Designed for security, advertising stat. Rigid and folding cartons are where it's at. Invented by the printer Robert Gare in 1870. Designed for security, advertising stat. Go back to 1817. Paperboard box spat. English M. Treverton and Son would be seen as fathers of where this idea sat. Corrugated fiberboard, paper and mat upon earth widely used by land and sea. Rigid and folding cartons are where it's at. Lives lived out of a box are truly those free. End poem.
Now, you said it wasn't a villanelle, Lee.
It is not a villanelle, Hatter. And the reason not a villanelle, it's not a villanelle because, number one, the third stanza, the rhyme pattern's out. It should be ABA and it's ABB, and in the final stanza it's ABAB, not ABAA, and for the additional piece of it, the first and third lines of the first stanza should have been the ones that repeat all the way down the poem. So, it is not a villanelle. It is not a villanelle.
Okay.
Right? Okay?
Now, yeah.
So, Hatter. But it is a type of poem. My question to you is, what type of poem is it?
Yeah, how I love those guys. It is a, besides an A.P. Taylor poem, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Can you read it backwards?
I'm going to tell you. No, I'm going to tell you what type of poem it is.
Okay.
Hatter, this is an acrostic.
Wait a minute.
It's an acrostic.
An acrostic is what? An acrostic defined as what?
The first letter of each line makes a statement at the end, if you read it together. So you ready? First letter, each line says, here we go. You ready for this, Hatter?
Well, now that I turn my phone around
cardboard.
And it's green, I can see it. Yeah. Okay.
Here we go.
Go for it.
Cardboard ridges curl is the acrostic. Cardboard ridges curl.
Okay. Now there were some true facts in this. Three types of cardboard you see.
Yes. Yes. However,
It's
an acrostic thing going on because whensoever I did the line for, say, starting with C, like corrugated fiberboard, carbon, and paper and mat, the next time the C comes along, then that's repeated under curl for C, where, for example, an A is used, like there's two A's in cardboard, and so where the second line starts up, three types of cardboard you see, that line is repeated when A happens again. So is the line starting with R. And so basically, whensoever you've already done a line with starting with that letter.
See, that's... Okay.
Yes.
That's what you guys...
and that's how the pattern comes.
See, I guess it's so intimidating to me. Well, I can read it backwards, forwards, read it on Tuesday, not on Tuesday. If you take the third word out of each line, that's incredible.
Yeah,
but
that's it.
See, now the facts,
yeah,
the guidelines or something like that would just confuse my brain when I'm trying to write something. It would just misfire everything in my head.
And so it imitates a Villanelle, but it's not. But it sort of sounds like a Villanelle, but it's not. It's sort of, there you go. Anyway, I thought it was kind of fun.
Now, what's the evil poem, type of style poem that I love so well?
The palindrome.
Palindrome.
Yeah.
Not a palindrome. It's an acrostic.
Evil.
An acrostic.
We had
sort of struck.
It's amazing. Amazing. One day I will put up my wings and I will try, but not today.
Yeah, I heard that one before.
Hey. You know, I was, Deborah, did you want to comment on the not a villain?
See, I got two words for you.
No,
show off. No, it's between the photo for one, that is a really, really cool choice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, if you're hearing him read without looking at it, I totally agree that it sounded like a villanelle. And then you find out that it's an acrostic. It's like, show off. And the more he would tell you it was happening, the more you would giggle a little, like you just didn't know what to say. And I got a kick out of that. And the details here, I think I told him I really liked the word corrugated too. But it's got the acrostic. It's got the flow. It's got history. So it's sort of teaching a little. And then it's got, you know, your repeated C's and this and that. I'm back to my original comment. Show off.
Now, is there a name for a poetry piece written in rhyme or in that manner that if it does have factual lines in it or factual people or things or dates, is there a certain... name for that kind of a poem, or is it just a...
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I did want to go back and talk a little bit about when cardboard was first invented, you know, back in England, and then put into the right waffle shape by Robert Gehr in the US. But I sort of was more interested about if I could write a sort of repeating line poem that wasn't in an acrostic form, as it wasn't in a villanelle form, whether it would actually sound like a villanelle. And I was fascinated that it did, if you chose the right words. And so I kind of like the style of a pseudo-acrostic sort of looking like a villanelle.
Now, that changes. The one line would change in each stanza. It would change positions, right?
Well, it does, because it depends on what its first letter is. Yeah, so that curl, for example, we've already used the C, but we haven't used the U, but we have used the R, and we have not used the L, you see. So the C and the R get repeated, but the U and the L don't, you know. So it was just interesting. I was surprised at how villanellish it sounded when it wasn't villanellish at all.
Yeah. Well, now I took a class once. JR, if you know who she is, taught the class or judged the class she handed out the homework. Now I did the whole session, but I moved the last part of the class was to create your own style of poetry and then explain how the pattern is and everything. And I did, but it was almost 2 years later I realized that I hadn't finished that course. So I looked up JR and I told her, she goes, that was 2 years ago. And I go, well, yeah, I just wanted to know that I didn't forget to do it.
Yes.
And that was the time that I found out that JR wasn't a guy. I thought JR was a guy.
So, no, JR is a perfectly lovely lady who lives about 70, 80 miles from me, a retired primary school teacher and a lovely person.
Yeah.
That's another person that you met in person, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. You've met quite a few. You've met quite a few, AP.
I have.
Else I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Possibly, yes. So I've met a couple of poets from up in Brisbane. I've obviously met a couple of poets in LA when I've been there, and then a poet up near Philadelphia as well. So I've probably met about 5 or 6 poets off the site, Hannah, in person.
Cool. Well, that's what this radio gig sort of does. It more personalizes the poet to where before we didn't know what each other's voice was, and it truly came about to where, depending on what part of the world you live in, what rhymes and what doesn't. I used to anybody that asked, they said, can you help me rhyme? I said, okay, well, I'll try, if I truly felt that they were honestly wanted to know. But this guy, he was in Jamaica, and then we were having trouble.
Yes.
And then I realized at the same time that Sarah Allett told me that I used near rhyme instead of a solid rhyme, and I didn't know what she was talking about. She's from England.
Yes.
And then I realized that was the problem I had with this Jamaican poet, that, oh, my God, I can't teach. They talk different. And the rhyming is a crucial thing on how you speak. And I think the radio, when we hear the author of the poems, the writer, actually read their own work, it gives it so much more value to it, because we would read it cold. It would be put to us. We probably wouldn't read it beforehand, and I'm famous for screwing that kind of thing up.
I was going to say that Sarah and Blue Jewel are back with a contest. Sarah Allott and Blue Jewel are back with a resurrection series of contests on All Poetry.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got here.
For the new one each week.
Yes. Yeah, I remember Sarah used to do a lot of contests. I remember that's how I sort of knew who she was the contest. And the big group contest we had that almost lasted a year to complete, her team along with Sky, they won. They won the thing.
I was going to give a shout-out for that contest because they've got Wrath as their first sin. And you've only got 50 words, Hatter. But you are not allowed to use the letter A at all.
At all. See that?
At all.
Where's
not
the rope
in the title.
Handcuff? Yeah, wow.
Yeah?
I can see myself making up words. Hey, I will.
Well,
if I can get away with it.
Can I sneak mine in, Hatter? Because I've done one, but it's only very short.
So you can go under the word limit?
Yeah, mine's only about 20 words. I think it's my first ever auto-rank one poem. Anyway, I'll quickly do it. You ready?
Yeah.
This is Rock with no A. And it's Boils is the title. And it goes like this. Punishment or retribution with severe fury or ire boils when power in its distribution gives outcomes tired. The result's dire. End poem. See, that doesn't muck around. 20 words, bang.
Now, I remember doing I think it was her. I had to write something in 19 words. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do
that.
Well,
that's only 20. It's only 20. So, and I don't have one strong word according to auto rank there, Hatter. So I've used 20 words and they're all weak. So that must be some sort of record.
Yeah. I just love restrictions on my poetry I try to write.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? I really like it too. I think it's really cool. So,
well, maybe someday I'm comfortable enough where I could allow myself to do that.
Auto rank might not like the words, but they're pretty damn clever, especially for rap.
Punishment.
Yeah. Retribution. Perfect.
No letter A.
Result dire. You don't think about how many A's you use until you try to write a poem without any.
Oh.
But this is pretty powerful and 20 words to boot. And I guess he's doubling up on the showing off tonight, huh, Hatter?
Yeah. Which he's allowed to do.
No A's there. No A's there, Hannah. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
no A's there.
No flipping A in there.
Not even one. And as I said, only 20 words. You don't like a poem. At least, you're only reading it for a few seconds. You don't like it. Well, you're off it, aren't you, really? You can't get too much lost in 20 words.
Now, was that contest ended or about to end?
Started.
No, still going. Yeah,
okay.
Still going. It's the only thing is you can't reserve. That's the only thing. So you've just got to go in there, and put your poem in. So you can't reserve. But apart from that, you can do whatever you damn well like. Really.
I think they made that rule because of me. I don't know how many reserves I had in my. Yeah.
Oh, well, that might be possible. Hello, sweet. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I think I smell sweet.
Party.
Yeah. It's a board. Not a cardboard.
It is.
A board.
Board party. It's a board
party.
Right, we're not the party of board, but it's a board party.
It's a board party. just wanted to stop by and say hi.
You're allowed to do that.
Glad you did.
But yes, it's been an interesting week.
I have a cardboard box for it, but I have to read it. Okay.
Yeah.
You may have a cardboard poem.
Sweet. I do. I have a cardboard box. I think when I think cardboard, I think very sad things. Cardboard boxes. So,
how did you happen to have a cardboard poem already?
Because I have one about dogs in cardboard boxes. So, that's just the way it is.
I had two. I had to pick one to bring one.
That's even better, Dick.
Yeah.
You had two. Wow.
Wow.
You should have bought Buzz.
Are we looking for
it? On the board.
Is it up there?
Debs is on the board.
Okay. Deb.
Do you see it, Hatter?
Yes, I got it in front of me. Thank you.
Okay, cool. And sweet, if you get a chance, you have to check out the one that AP brought. He read his already, but he was really showing off tonight. Anyway, this is called As a Body in a Box. And here we go. On my drive home today, I spot a big hooded guy strolling down the sidewalk and sunshine in short supply. Nebulous shroud tints into gray, blocking the periwinkle blue sky with no place for this man to go. Mail from his wife said goodbye. As a body in a box lay sleeping, the cardboard sags on his head from the raindrops drizzling. No people check, but is he dead? Contained in a flood of darkness, nightmares invade his brains. PTSD can plague soldiers as flashbacks hit like freight trains. Adrenaline triggers inside his veins. Body rocks as arms and legs shake. Torso flops like the fish with no water or lover to cling to through every quake. End poem.
Wow. Another reality. I understand why people don't want to pay attention, but I don't understand why they won't pay attention to
How to remember when I told you about the tent city right down the street by the playground, and that they had they put the outhouse back.
Well, they did.
They did.
Common sense. Who would have thought? That's great. I mean, something simple as that. Something as simple as that can be so appreciated. Man, AP, what'd you think?
Yeah, look, it's such an everyday sort of product, cardboard, and if you're in the better sort of side of life, you think about cardboard, and you think about boxes, and you think about storage, and think about moving things. But for a lot of people, it's what they, you know, get protected from the rain from, and that's what the palm picked up so well.
Yeah, to keep dry, right? And you know, soldiers that come back from active war, should be treated like kings. They should be set up for the rest of their life. They shouldn't have to worry. They shouldn't be homeless.
Yeah.
We got that wrong. As a nation, we have that completely wrong. Someday I hope that will change.
But,
CP, what did you think?
I think it's hard-hitting and striking and really kind of focuses on many of the things that are wrong in our society. And I agree with you, Heather, that vets and that should be, you know, treated as kings. But I also think that it's, you know, a bigger problem in our society is why do we have anybody living in a cardboard box in one of the richest nations in the world? There's something to be said about that. You know, what are we doing? What are we doing wrong? And I like quotes that are deep. And that bring that sense of justice to the forefront.
Yeah, you know, when you try to understand what desperation is, the line she wrote, "Nebulous shroud tints into gray, blocking the periwinkle blue sky, with no place for this man to go. Mail from his wife said goodbye." I can't think of anything more devastating than that. When family saying goodbye, you know. Oh man, made me cry, Deborah.
Cry, Hatter. I'll cry too.
Yeah, nobody should be crying.
True.
So, Sweet Pea, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. Like I said, it's been a week of adjustments. Bringing the mother-in-law to come live with me and just taking that one day by day. And it's interesting to bring a 90, 90-year-old woman home to come live with you. And we're just taking it day by day. So it's been a hectic week, but I'm doing okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, were you looking for your box piece, or did you have it?
No, it's on the board.
Oh, it is.
It's on the board, sir. Yep.
Okay. You have the mic.
I have the mic. This is cold nights are nothing compared to sunny days. The shine of the moon and the shadows of street lamps calm me as no eyes look upon me in pity or shame without lifting a hand to feed me or guide me home. Homeless, freezing, shivering in a makeshift blanket, frightened, unsure of my safety or if I should move away, lost, abandoned, wandering aimlessly, looking for kindness. As the sun rises, I hear the stirring of humans and must gather my strength and run away, dodging cars and frightened mothers at bus stops. I miss my morning meals poured into bowls, fresh water always there, searching to quench a burning throat or soothe raw pads on paws. Teenagers are good to me. They share hamburgers and pet me and always explain how sorry they are that they cannot take me home, for death by their mothers is certain. My coloring is now mud, but I was a glorious blue merle, gray of color and golden amber, highlighting my face, one eye brown and the other blue, a true wiggle butt. I still wiggle that little tail when humans approach, a little more apprehensive, less trusting, I suppose, learning to live on the streets, no place for any pet. Domesticated is the only word humans should know. Feral is one Homo sapiens should abolish in their language. Wild animals should stay wild, take care of us on the streets. Human and animal, what a world that would be. See the trash thrown out every night, bundled in bags, smelling so good, and two boxes too high to reach. The sun is warm, and I watch people walk past and not see me as I'm scrawny and weak, my fur knotted and dirty. There are no hands to pet me as I near the end of my life. I look above, and all will be all right as I run, never to be afraid, weak or lost. Body limber or flying, I cross the rainbow bridge and home.
Oh, sweet people. Oh, man. Yeah, if I could, I would adopt every animal there was. I mean, at least we would know why a dog would. A dog wouldn't.
Yes.
Yes. AP, you want to comment?
Yeah. Look, I think the real tragedy, and I think most people can relate to this, is that the people who relate most and who often give most to people who are poor are other poor people. And there seems to be
very true.
A very sad state of affairs where there's a whole heap, there's enough of them. There's enough people who are very, very rich and have got a lot of money, but they don't see these people there. They just pass by their lives and they pass by the world and they look through them. It's like they're not even existing.
Yeah.
And there's something really wrong with that. There's just something that is just not human about that. And I don't know how we've got to that situation. I really don't. Because in order to do that, part of your humanity must have escaped you. You know, you're no longer a full-thinking, reasonable, rational person if you can look past it, but yet so many people do. And often those people are ones with lots of money. And I can't for the life of me describe why that's happened, but it does. And that's the real sadness, because the people who are often caring are those people who have so little to share, but they share it anyway. And it's just something wrong there. I don't know why. There's just something wrong. And that's what your palm picks up, sweet.
It's gotten so large. It's gotten so large that a lot of people that are willing to, they don't know how to help. How to do you? Some college students did a video of what they did was they bought a pizza and let these people that they saw drive up in a BMW, nice clothes and everything. And they're sitting there eating it. And another student, acting as a homeless person, said he was hungry. Could I have a piece? And they said no. They did the same thing to a homeless person who sat and was eating free pizza. And the homeless guy came up and asked me. He said, sure, sit down, and shared it with him. Didn't have any problem doing that. That says something, you know. It is so big that it's hard to know what to do. But how could you be most productive in trying to help? I buy bags of burgers, and that's enough. And blankets in the winter, we did that every year. Coats and blankets in the wintertime, and went down and then to deliver to people that, you know, that's not even safe anymore. They don't want you doing that.
I think as long as people are looking, there's always ways and means to help people. And you can't help everybody, but there's always ways and means to help. And there's different ways to do that, yeah? Like, I think I spent 15 years directing charities in my time, collective of directing businesses, yeah? So I spent about 15 years doing that on a pro bono basis. So I didn't get paid for any of those charities that I directed, but I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do, yeah? And those charities get a lot of, they get a lot back from you doing that. So that's one way you can do it if you're in that situation where you can give back. But more importantly than that, equally, I think there's so many people out there who are struggling, and if you do have resources and you do have wealth, I think you should find ways to help people. And I've always believed that, but I'm probably, a little unusual. Yeah.
Now, some have so much. Some have so much. It's hard to realize they don't do much or if anything for that kind of situation. CP, did you want to say something?
Yeah.
I would just say socks. I know it's an odd thing, but anytime I buy socks for my local women's shelter. Socks are one of the number one requested things for children and women and men in any kind of shelter. People need socks, and nobody gets to buy them. And because socks, and they don't have socks on the street.
Yep.
They don't have, and socks are one of the most requested things. So literally just dropping off breath.
What broke my heart was seeing how many children were down at the river or the places, the camps.
The problem is a lot of the poverty we're talking about that leads to people being on the street is institutionalized over generations. And poverty begets poverty. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're in a situation where you don't have much money, go figure, often your kids in the next generation end up in exactly the same situation because you've had nowhere to get them out, you know?
That's true. Oh, hey, sweets. Guess what I saw? I saw a picture of this. It's like a trail, like a road, a small path real green and hilly on both sides, and there's like 15, 20 dogs all sitting on the picture, and they're all looking at you. And it, and the caption said, "This is what the gate to heaven looks like."
Oh,
I know.
I love that.
I know.
I love that.
I tried grabbing it to take it, but I wouldn't let me copy it. As one of those, I didn't let me do that.
That sounds awesome.
Very cute.
Yeah, awesome. I thought of you. Jacob, but.
Now, did we get Deb commenting on Sweet's poem, Adam?
Yeah.
I actually remember this one because, I'm pretty sure a couple of us were crying on the show that night. It was an MK Rock show, I think, and I remember. Well, actually, I'll read down here where I wrote. I put my comment, and it was, "Oh, sweet, so sorry, and please stop saying sorry for having a huge heart. Oh, my goodness, I'm crying with you. Powerful, emotional pen." And you said, "Thanks, Deb. It's going to ruin my dark night rep. I keep crying on air, LOL. I said, "Sorry to break it to you, Madam Darkness. Try though you might, everyone who loves you already knows you have a humongous heart." Just saying. And I think that's an awesome comment, so I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah. And actually, I think it was one of your shows, Deb. I don't think it was a rock show. I actually think it was one of yours.
Yeah. I did a show for somebody else. I don't know, because it says Tuesday's timepiece now that I'm looking. On the side.
Maybe it was her.
Yeah, you want to.
Oh, maybe it was.
Yeah, you want a bronze
medal. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, but still.
It is MK Rock.
Crying that night.
I bawled the first time I read this. I couldn't read it. It is. It was Laurent and Mindy. Yep. That was a while ago.
What a cool name, MK Rock. I told her she had the greatest day in poetry. MK Rock. Sunday.
Absolutely.
Sunday. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna head out, you guys. I've got to go do my thing. If you don't mind, though, I'd like to tell you about my show Tuesday, if that's not too pushy.
Well, you'll have to listen to the show on demand to hear my poem that I wrote.
I will do that.
Okay. Cool.
And wait, what happened to
Mushy? Oh, I said if it's not too pushy, if I can tell you about my show Tuesday.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said Mushy.
Oh, yeah.
I was going, "The more Mushy are you going to get?" You almost had her crying.
Oh, no.
I know. Be pushy. Tell us what you're doing.
Starting Tuesday and then going through the month of October, I'm going to do horror writers, and Tuesday night will be quotes from the books by H.P. Lovecraft. So I'm going to feature Mr. Lovecraft this Tuesday, and then I will be doing authors such as Poe, Hitchcock, Rice, King, Shelley, Stroker, Straub, authors throughout the month of October. So that is going to be my theme for the month of October. So
yeah, Halloween's coming up.
Yeah, so that's going to be the great horror writers of our time. So look for quotes from H.P. Lovecraft books coming up on Tuesday. I'll be setting that up tomorrow, guys. All right. Thank you guys for being patient and all of that. Love you all.
Thank you.
And I will chat with you guys soon. All right. Bye, guys.
Respect, sweet.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, I see mine's up there. Can't wait.
Yeah, we're down to yours and Phil's.
Oh, yeah.
Yours is up there.
We'll do Phil. What do you feel?
I think you were a little bit inspired, Hatter. It looks epic.
Yeah, I think it came together okay. I worked hard on it today. I was waiting for the last minute.
That's
called cardboard. All cardboard. That see that
you
little
speak this?
Huh? Yeah, I'll read it. It goes
you
like this.
Read it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Middle child from a big family, the number three little kid. There were things that we dreamed of and those things that we actually did. No expensive toys as little boys. We would show our best of our creations. We would always find inside our minds from our little kid imagination. Every year come spring, we would wait for that thing that would keep us all entertained. There was nothing more fun when it was all said and done. And we had to be a little insane. It started one day when my brother did say, I double dog dare you to do it. So I climbed to the top with no brakes to stop, no way I could ever prove it. So off I would fly like a rocket was sent, not afraid to be broken or forever bent. Not a care where it came from for a summer of fun. Patiently we would wait it each day, like vultures to see someone's delivery that would fill our summer of play. A water heater, a dryer, or a washing machine, something we knew when little boys. So patiently we waited for like animals gated for the best of our summer toys. What it was we found by cutting it down was the best thing you could ever wish for. We would make excuses about all the bruises. We would always be a little bit sore. The hill nearby was a natural slide, a football field of slick golden grass. Four, five, or six, all little kids on cardboard that went way too fast. Where did you go? What did you do? The questions we would naturally hear. We would always say we just went and play, as the fun outweighed the fear. We would turn into men by the summer's end, racing down that hill, bloody and cut. We would drag it back up just to get our summer of thrills. To ride in the middle, you couldn't be little, or it would take you off the deep. That's when you knew that it was true, that hill was way too steep. We were Evel Knievel, and before it was done, we never again had so much fun. So the best of toys for all little boys was nothing that you could buy. Cardboard from places we once used as bases, little kids learning to fly. The day came to be when Dad came to see why we were all getting along. He shook his head before he said that hill's just a little bit long. We begged him to keep our secret complete and not tell our mother dear. And that's what he did for five little kids. He often would come tag along. So ask all my brothers and all the others the days that we cheat the reaper. There were never a better toy for small little boys and a toy you could never find cheaper. Cardboard.
You were inspired.
That's a true story. They couldn't see the hill we were sliding.
Like, yep.
At the end of this hill, well, it was goldenrod. It was tall, 3-4 foot tall grass on the side of this hill. And when it dried out in the summer, it was slick and fast. At the end of the hill, there was about a 6-foot drop down to the road, and you didn't want to go that off the edge because you just didn't. Being in the middle of the cardboard, everybody would start rolling off. As we got near the end, they'd start rolling off. Well, the guy in the middle, you had to roll a couple more times before you could get stuck on it and take it all off the edge. It was weird. It was sort of crazy.
Yep.
And I'll talk about fast. I remember my dad, when he came over to see what we were doing, finally came over to see what we were doing because we were there all day long in the summertime.
Mm.
And he just looked at it, shook his head, and he goes, oh, my God, is this what you guys are doing? They thought we were finding this little hill that we're just going to go slide down, you know.
Yep.
And they're like, no, this was an adult thrill ride. That boy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I was going to get Deb to go first because I've got a little story about your poem, Patter. It reminded me of a song. Did you want to say a few words about Patter's poem?
I did, yeah. You know, the poem's awesome, of course, and
the read was great, but my favorite part, Hatter, was that nostalgia in your voice. I don't really think that you needed to say that it was a true story when you were done, because there was joy when you thought about sliding down that hill, that grass. There was joy when you talked about your dad keeping the secret, aside from the great words and rhyme and flow and whatnot. It was really, really awesome to hear the joy in your voice when you read. And it brings you to the thought of, we've had people that lived in cardboard boxes. We've had the dogs, and now we've got some giggles. We had the acrostic. I mean, what a variety for the word cardboard.
That's true. That's true. I know when I mentioned or named the prompt, I knew exactly what I was going to write.
Yeah, really.
I remember having a conversation with my older brother saying, you know, if Mom and Dad knew what we were doing, they would stop it. Because, yeah, I know that. Yeah. Then Dad wanted to see, and that's true. They wanted to see how we were getting along, because, you know, we were all boys. We fought, wrestled around, argued just like any other kids. But there were times where we all got along. Okay, what's going on? Something's wrong. What are you doing?
Yep. So, Hatter, this poem reminds me so much of the feel and even the sort of sense of a song by an English songwriter. And that was a guy called Ed Sheeran, who was a very, very good composer of songs. Yeah. And one of his songs, Castle on the Hill. And so I was going to try and sing a little bit of that just to give you that sense to see if it was the same, because I reckon it is. Yeah? So this is Ed Sheeran's song. It's Castle on the Hill. I'm going to try and do it, you know, straight up so that God knows what it'll sound like. But here we go. When I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. I was running from my brother and his friends. I tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass as I rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart and broke it here. Made friends and lost them through the years. And I've not seen the roaring fields in so long. I know I've grown, but I can't wait to go home. But I'm on my way, driving at 90 down those country lanes and singing to Tiny Dancer. And I miss the way you make me feel. And it's real when we watch the sunset over the castle on the hill. It's a bit like that, Edda.
Being kids.
Wait.
Yeah, the memories of being kids. You know, everyone should be as lucky as I did. I have of having such a wonderful childhood. My parents were great. A lot of brothers and sisters.
Me too.
Yeah.
And to be able to have memories.
That sense of being and learning and exploring and doing it in a way that you could just enjoy it.
I can remember when the neighbors would do the appliances. It would be a battle as to whether the girls got the box and made a little house, or the boys got the box and then it was a rocket ship.
Yeah.
And oh, it was a great day. It was a wonderful day when more than one neighbor got new appliances.
Yes.
Yeah, it can. Wow. I remember doing that. I remember building forts, indoor forts, was sort of a thing we did when it was raining, and my parents would allow us to do that. You know, cushions, tables, chairs, sheets. I did that for my kids when they were little. Mm. I would get boxes and tape them together, make
yep.
doorways, archways, and, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of fun. I remember one
yep.
day I work graveyard, so I'd gotten up and it was my day off, so I could screw around all day. Stacy had something to some errands to run, so she said, "Well, I need you to take care of all the clothes out of the dryer and fold them for me." Oh, great. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Well, it was all sheets. When she came home, the whole front room was a fort. And TV's on, and I'm in it. I'm just laying there, and I didn't think of the consequences. The thing was that none of the kids were home. So I could hear her. She didn't know where I was. I could hear her go, "I married it. I got three kids. Jesus." But, yeah, the things you carry with you and remember the small things that stuck with that sticks with you. Precious.
Yeah,
they're
important. And those small things have put a smile in your voice, Hatter. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have
well,
those.
Hey,
that's something I can't be.
We only have one poem left. Do we know what next week is, AP?
Yeah, it's
gonna be
easy.
I was thinking, Deb, because I went with sort of a color that could be used in different things last time. So I was going to try that again, but I'm not sure if I've done this topic before. So you have to tell me if I have. Then I'll choose something else. Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
I was thinking that we'd go with chocolate.
I don't remember you doing one, but I think that chocolate's versatile enough that even if you have, it could still be fun. But no, I don't remember chocolate. That would be really cool.
I don't remember either. I can't think why I'm going with chocolate.
Awesome.
You know, there was a story where when they first started importing the coca leaves, the coconuts.
Yes.
For not coconuts, but what chocolate's made from, was shipwrecked on a shore of some country they had never seen or heard. And through trial and error, or somebody that from the ship knew how to make it, so they were introduced to chocolate for the first time. It was like the just
yeah,
most
wow.
amazing thing. Well, it was like the spice
yeah.
trades. Back in the day when we didn't have a pepper and salt and everything, it was huge to the Europeans to be able to.
It was huge. The chocolate was massive, and so, So I just look interesting because it's a color, but also interesting because, as you say, Hatter, there's a lot of history with it, and I just thought it might sort of capture some of what we've done a bit like today, but we'll see. It'd be interesting to see.
It goes in many directions.
Yeah. You know, there's one. There's one myth out there I want to clarify for everybody that might be listening, that giving your girl or your wife chocolate doesn't get you out of trouble. It just doesn't.
I've got a very Australian almost essay that I'll write about chocolate.
Okay. Chocolate next week. Prompt. So anybody that writes it could call it and share it, we'll have you read it.
Yeah.
So we got the.
So personally, I
got
a story go way further than a box of chocolate.
You know, my mother demanded that when we gave her flowers, do not give her a bouquet of cut flowers. She wanted mums, so she could be always came alive in a pot. She could plant them in the yard, and I sort of adopted that thought of.
Yep.
Of cut flowers.
I'd rather have anything growing than something that's been chopped and is about to die.
Should I, yeah. It's a weird
way better. I think.
Yeah. It's sort of a weird thing to do. But I guess to the smell of flowers in the house is always nice, like Christmas tree at Christmas time.
Yeah, but you can get the smell in a plant that's growing without having to cut the flowers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Now we should play Phil's poem. So we've got that done. And so we can comment on it because Phil very kindly has put his poem on the board and given us a SoundCloud of it. So this is and Deb, you've put it up on the board. So this is A Cardboard Box by Phil the Poet. And it goes like this.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Cardboard Box. I remember when I was a child, my imagination used to run wild. A cardboard box was my only inspiration, and with my mind I made my own creation. The cardboard box would become anything, and few examples I shall bring. Are you ready to be adventurous? Good. But let me tell you that it will be dangerous. In a rocket ship traveling through space, trying to communicate with an alien race. What's happening? We seem to be under attack. Locking the lasers. Too late. Pull back. Pull back. Hoist the mainsail, my hearties. Come on. No time for your stupid word parties. Dare to cross me. I'll make you walk the plank. Why do you laugh? I tell you, this is no prank. Quick. To the dam. They won't be able to catch us. If they do, they can kill us with just one touch. We are safe here because we are invisible. But we can't stay here. We need a miracle. The miracle that sprung forth would be Mum saying it's time for tea. Too much adventure, sleepy head, as Dad carries me off to bed. End poem.
Phil, this is great. Did you notice his first line rhymes were the same words I used in my inspiration and creation? Excellent.
Yep.
Yeah, it reminded me of the carpet's lava. Yeah, climb from chair to chair, couch to couch, can't touch. What do you think, Deb?
Well, for one, I was tickled that it was a rocket. You give a cardboard box and he's got a rocket. I think that's fascinating. But I thought that the read was brilliant, the enthusiasm, the fun that he obviously had, and the nostalgia tied to him, too. I think that he did an excellent job. And I like the way he said box.
There's been a certain sort of channeling of sort of childhood joy there, hasn't there, in a number of these poems, and that's really cool because you know that's just you know people letting go and being prepared to share, but also really you can tell the joy in their voice through that experience, and it comes through, and it he took us with us, and it was a great little piece, Phil.
Yeah. Once again, the things that we carry with us, the child. It makes me curious if he had brothers and sisters, and if they were close to the age he was, or how that went. Because in my life, my brothers and sisters had a big part to my how I remember things.
Yes.
I was, being middle child, I got a little bit of it all.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, thank you, Phil.
But,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. That was really great.
Going on the list.
So, Hannah, we're in your hands to close up shop.
Yeah, I want to I want to thank everybody for writing or that's going to listen to on demand. Sweet Pea, Phil the Poet, thank you, Stephen, for calling in. AP, you make it so entertaining on my Saturday nights. I truly appreciate you. And Deborah Lee, my little sister, my friend, thank you, thank you. Put a smile on my face. You guys want to say anything?
Did you want to push your program this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a new artist with some pretty abstract art to choose from. So I'm hoping everybody has fun with that one. And then I also want to remind you guys to take a look at your toys this time and get send me some collab lines so we can have a collab next week. And
sorry.
And
well, no, we
all had stuff going on. It wasn't just you, Hatter. It was.
I've actually got some time this week, Hannah. I've got some time this week because 3 weeks ago I thought that Deb's program artist that she found, Janice Kowski, was 3 weeks ago, you see. And so I wrote a poem for it, yeah? And so I've already got a poem there. The only problem is that I wrote the poem to the very neat image, and then I found out there was a word bank. Now, that was a problem. It was a problem in two ways, because I'd written a bloody palindrome, hadn't I? And so I hadn't put the word bank in, and it was a palindrome, which meant that it meant to make sense reversed as well, yes? And so I then gritted my teeth and came up with the poem, which is on the list for the program, which is Owls of History's Past Two. I note for the record, I started with one word from the word bank, which was red. That was the only one that was in it when I started. And the rest of it had to be monkey wrenched in. So there you go. A palindrome with a word bank retrofitted into it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, well, now you have no excuse for not writing back the toys.
No, that's right. And I almost did. I almost did, Deb. I almost did. Well, I was halfway through, and then I thought, no, that'll spoil it for everybody. I was halfway through doing a cardboard poem based on that image. Because there's so many cardboard packaging bits in that image. But then I thought, no, that's just don't do that.
I did that. I think the first time I realized there was a word bank, and I just ruined my day.
nothing worse, Hatter. And you say it's done, and perfectly lovely palindrome, and then you go, oh shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So it's there.
Yeah.
Well, it's there, and it works.
I like it how you call that the evil poem. I like that you call it the evil poem.
Oh yeah, it is.
those evil poems that AP writes. I wonder if the inventor of the palindrome would like hearing that it's an evil poem.
They're almost arcane in a way, aren't they, really? Because they shouldn't work, but they do. You know?
It's all a puzzle. It's all a word puzzle. All of it. It's just a puzzle of words. And you become a wizard or a master of words. And it's
very
just like
true.
How many years have we been doing this? How many years have we been doing this? And you see how much better the writing's gotten with everybody. That's amazing. And once again, you do something every day, you're going to get better. That's it.
Absolutely, Hatter. absolutely. Just keep trying them. God knows you'll get better eventually.
I did want to mention one thing. I want to thank Gerald Green for sending me a message with all the questions I had about him. Thank you for that, sending that. I won't have to guess no more. Thank you. He's one of our poets.
Brilliant.
So I read across. I'm actually in the studio, and I found a song.
Yes.
I just figured I might play to walk us out of here. I want to thank everybody once again. Thank you for joining us on a Hatterday Saturday. We do this every Saturday at 10 o'clock Eastern, and we have shows during the week, different times. Usually 11 or 10 o'clock Eastern time is the shows. Stop by and take a listen. P. Taylor from Australia and Deborah from the East Coast, thank you so much. And
fun show. Love and respect.
Found an Aerosmith.
Sing for the love, sing for the fear, sing with.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in, listening. Hey, P. Thank you, Deborah. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Heather. See you all next time. Chocolate.
Night.